Welcome back to Phoenix FM, Brentwood's only alternative. You just heard Troubadour from Wales and Side by Side, new single from them, and before that, Duke from Southend. They played a Phoenix Fridays for us about 2 months ago now, and that was Pins and Needles, their current single, and Aftermath before that followed The Waves. And very pleased to say that I have Andy and Ray and Steve from the Everglows in the studio. I nearly said Everglow. I don't know why I nearly said Everglow. We'll talk about that later. So, hello, guys. How you doing?
How you doing? Yeah, good, thanks.
Good. Okay, we're going to do our usual tradition. We're going to go straight into the music in a minute. So we've got three songs coming up. So, what's the first song we got lined up?
First one's called Amanita.
Okay, all right. This is where we have just a little bit of dead air on the desk while I turn everything off. Brilliant. Okay, when you're ready. Very good. There's only one of me and three of you, so I'm not going to do any applause, if that's okay. But that was fantastic. Amanita. Brilliant. Okay, let's go into the second one. Which one have we got next?
This one's called Until Tomorrow.
Okay, when you're ready.
Confused. tomorrow, my old son.
Excellent. Until tomorrow. I got that, didn't I? Until tomorrow.
Yeah, we've said it enough times.
It's always a shock when it doesn't turn out to be what you think it is. Okay, brilliant. We're going to have one more song, and then after that we're going to have a little bit of a break and come back for a chat. So what's the third song you're going to play?
The third one's called That Other Girl.
Okay, when you're ready. Fantastic. Thank you very much. The Other Girl and Until Tomorrow and Amanita. Thanks very much, guys. Sounding fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No problem. Right, let's get on with the music and we're going to come back very soon and have a chat. From 1993. Wow, that was a long time ago. A bit dodgy there. And Cold Tea. Now, we've got the Everglows in the studio and you just heard three fantastic songs from them. If you missed them, if you're just tuning in, don't worry, we'll be putting them up on the Phoenix FM website probably tomorrow, I would think. Maybe Saturday, but most likely tomorrow. Just keep an eye on phoenixfm.com, Facebook and Twitter. Of course, we're Phoenix FM on all of that and then you can find out when it goes up. But for the meantime, we're going to have a chat with Andy, Ray and Steve. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hello there. Yeah, good. How are you doing? How are you all, first of all? Let's be civil.
Yeah, very well, very well. Yeah.
Good. Just as you're doing that, I'm just checking the microphones are all right and that you're all talking in the microphones. Brilliant, right. Okay.
I'm stunned from that session still.
Session, yeah, very nice, very nice. Because I've heard the the recorded output. And of course, it's always nice when you come in, you're playing exactly the same songs completely differently. I think it's fair to say it was
very different.
You're quite a full-on electric band, but the songs are nice because they translate over to acoustic sets very well, which is brilliant for us. But you already know that, so it doesn't matter. Okay, let's start at the beginning. You've been together. How long have you been together? Because I've been a bit confused, because I've gone out, done my research, and Facebook says you've been around for about 4 years, but Bandmix says that you've been around since last year.
Yeah, we met about... pointing and nodding doesn't work on radio, does it? Me and Ray met about 4 years ago.
That's me nodding now.
And he's nodding, yeah, and I'm nodding and pointing. We used to do covers. We used to do Who covers and small. It was quite
moddy, wasn't it?
Yeah, was like Paul Weller, Kinks, Beatles, Who, you know, that sort of covers. And I started writing some stuff, and we kind of started dropping the covers and doing more original stuff. And then our bass player at the time left, and we didn't have a bass player for quite a long time. And then we met Steve at an open mic night. In Stratford, right. And Steve said that I am a guitarist and I want to join your band. And we went, well, we need a bass player. So he said, oh, I don't play bass. So we went, okay, well, you know, you should play bass because we need a bass player. And, you know, Steve's a very nice bloke, so, you know, we wanted him in.
Initially, we forgot about it, didn't we?
Yeah, we kind of forgot about him. And the next...
Out of the blue, we went back about, what was it, 6 months later, was it?
I've done about 6 months, maybe about 2 months.
A couple of months later, yeah.
A few months
later. Just out of the blue to do another open mic, and who would be there? It's Steve.
Yeah. Steve was there, so he said, right. You need to be
this
a bass player.
It sounds like it had to be.
I said I'll fill in until I found one, and I'm still here.
And to answer your question, that was 18 months ago.
Right, okay, so that's a little bit different from everything else. Okay, so you've been together, and that's how bass guitarists start out, isn't it, as a normal guitarist? No one actually just picks up a bass to start with.
No, I don't know why they would do that.
Don't tell him that.
I don't know. That's how I've got it anyway. I could be wrong. Okay, were any of you in bands before, did you say?
Me and Ray have been in bands for like forever.
Right.
Not together, but...
Any names of any bands?
I used to be in a band that were around Romford, mid to late 90s, called Biddy Whiz. Okay. And we played at like the 100 Club and the Marquee and places, but never really progressed any further than that.
I was in a band called Skyway around the time of Britpop.
Skyway, yeah.
We had a development deal with A&M. But unfortunately, the guy that was promoting us died of a heart attack, which is very unfortunate. And the trouble is, when that happens, you kind of get dropped by the label, because he was the one that was pushing us.
Yeah, each person has their own bands, don't they, basically?
That's right. So we used to play Camden and the Marquee and basically like London, all the
Did
venues.
Did you support anybody good or bad?
We played quite a lot of bands, actually. I was also in a band with the singer of Powder.
Pearl Lowe.
I was the drummer in her band.
Which band?
Well, it was originally it was a band called Rivermouth.
Right.
And we auditioned for a singer, and she became our singer.
Okay.
And then she sort of went on to sack us all and got her mates in and changed the name to Powder, and then it became a different thing, you know.
Oh, no. So not a good story then, after all, really.
So my career's been a little bit up and down as far as music goes.
But, yeah, because Powder were... there's two observations. Firstly, they were on a TV programme, Britpop Now, which you might remember from mid-90s, and suddenly everybody started talking about them because she got on the TV and wiggled about a bit. But also, everyone actually seemed to hate them, and I actually quite like them. And I shouldn't probably say I quite like them now.
They didn't hate them as much as Menswear.
Everybody hated Menswear.
Well, Menswear back together again.
They follow us on Twitter, actually.
They are tweeting 100 hours a day, basically. They don't stop. I think the guy just lives on Twitter. I think it's Johnny Dean who's actually tweeting it.
Yeah.
And I saw them live when they came back in, I think, March or April or something like that. Because it's just Johnny Dean. The rest of the band have all been sacked. And they've basically got... Whoever's playing for them now, they're really tight. It's actually like... This is a good band now, you know. This is actually pretty good.
I think the drama's something to do with Radio 6, isn't it?
Six Music, yeah.
Matt Everett.
Yeah, that's right.
And another one of them, they did quite well, actually. Another one of them went on to manage Block Party as well.
They
did all right out of it, I think, yeah. But Johnny's still going. So, yeah, Britpop, it was kind of... Because I started doing my show when Britpop was at its height, about 1996. So, fond memories at the time.
Yes, it was a marvellous era, I would say.
It was pretty... trigger? I mean, that brings me on to another question, because normally I would ask a band, how would you describe yourself to someone who hadn't heard you before? But you already describe yourself on your Facebook. You say mod, garage, psychedelia, as well as new wave and Britpop.
So yeah, we couldn't really cover any more bases.
No, that's fine. You got every
We don't have we don't do country and western. We don't do metal, even though Steve would love us to do.
What a shame. I love country and western.
I think I probably prefer the country and western to metal. Metal's really gone downhill a lot in the last few years. But if you were to pick one band from each of those genres, who would you go for? If you really wanted to be that band or admire that band, so we start with mod.
Probably the Who.
Yeah, I think so. I think we'd all agree on the Who. Yeah. High energy, brilliant songs, aggressively played. Yeah, definitely.
I saw them live a long time ago, 1989. But
I did as well.
Oh, did you? Wembley Arena?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, and they were already very old at that point.
They were, and I was very young. So I just get that in.
Yeah, me too. Definitely very young. Good band, good live band. Oh, and everyone says they're a good live band.
They were very good. Yeah,
not teaching anyone anything new with that. So okay, so we got the Who for the mod and garage.
Would you class the Doors as garage? I don't know. I would probably say the Doors, but I don't know. Ray will probably
come up. Someone like the Sonics. They're a good band.
Yeah.
I was into a lot of 60s garage punk bands, so there's thousands of them.
A lot of them kind of came and went, didn't they? There was sort of Third Bardo. I've got a few of their bits. I like them, but nobody seemed to have a really long-lasting career.
That one song and that was it, wasn't it?
I mean, even the Doors, we know what happened to the Doors, but that's right. You're right, they were like 3-minute wonders, really.
Stooges are always a great band.
Definitely.
Moving on to psychedelia.
Well, I guess you put the Beatles in that kind of bracket, because the Beatles psychedelia stuff is just amazing.
Because it's
just sort of invented, didn't it? That sort of first Pink Floyd album and the Beatles.
Again, that's another really deep and rich area, isn't it? It's like 60s punk. There's like the Peanut Butter Conspiracy, who had an album called Is Spreading.
Yeah.
It's Spreading, I like that.
All those sort of bands.
You can do this for about 3 hours.
Yeah.
I've just got to go. I've got an hour and 20 minutes to fill, so we're fine. I mean, you're right about the Beatles, because they were, they were basically, it was like One Direction suddenly turning into Pink Floyd, wasn't it? It was kind of, you just wouldn't happen today, would it?
There's the one, Pink Floyd, probably.
Pink Floyd.
Definitely Pink Floyd.
Yeah, the Sid Barrett Floyd.
Early. Yeah. Definitely. That's a good choice, actually, the early Pink Floyd.
But I think the Beatles is most people's introduction to psychedelia. Well, Floyd and the Beatles. People hear that and go, wow, what's this? We were talking about Status Quo the other day.
Because they were very psychedelic when they started.
That's right. Someone compared us to Status Quo on Twitter. And I was like, oh, I don't really know how to take that. And Ray went, oh, that's fantastic.
It's okay up until 1969 after that.
Yeah,
Okay, so we also got a bit of New Wave as well. New Wave.
Yeah, if it's punk, say The Damned.
Yeah.
Me personally.
I would definitely say The Jam, because that's just my... Just love all
again,
that.
This is where you get a bit of a blurring of boundaries, because a lot of people associate The Jam with the mod scene because of the way they dress, but they were a punk band, weren't they?
Yeah.
XTC, definitely.
Big fan of XTC. Fantastic. I get tweeted by Andy Partridge. If I go online and say, now playing, and I do this with the bands I'm playing, now playing such and such during my show, he always comes back with some kind of sarcastic comment, which is, brilliant. But he talks to everybody, so it's not just me.
Okay.
But it's always touches you, when you get a bit of someone like Andy Partridge.
You see, you had that great crossover as well, because they did, XTC did that album called, they became the Dukes of Stratosphere, didn't they, in the 80s.
That's right, they had two albums, didn't they, 25 O'Clock and something else. That
Sonic
was very,
Sunspots.
Very psychedelic,
So that's the link, again, to like the psychedelic thing, isn't it?
That is a fantastic album. I've heard of that one.
They went through a lot of change. Shame they don't do anything anymore.
He was a great songwriter, Andy Partridge.
He's been tweeting this week that he's been talking to Terry Chambers again, which must be the first time in years. And years, but they all did fall out in a big way, all of them, I think, one after another. All a little bit I don't know whether they're difficult to work with, but these are the stories, which is a shame, because they made all this great music, and then you kind of half expect expect bands to go on forever a lot of the time now. There's so many reunions bands from the 60s and 70s and 80s still going, and still some of them still sounding really good and writing new stuff. And it's kind of a bit sad when a band you like actually stops and they mean it. It's definitely hard to take. Okay, and finally, Britpop.
Dodgy, definitely.
Yeah, I think we'd always say dodgy, wouldn't we?
Because maybe not. For me, it's got to be like the Charlatans or something like the Charlatans.
Charlatans
were good, weren't they?
They had some fantastic phases, but they also had this kind of a dad rock phase where they seemed to be doing...
So they turned into the Stones, didn't they?
Yeah, TGI Fridays every week, and they didn't seem so good. I think when they get the... I don't know, is it Hammond or a Farfisa or something? When they get that, brilliant. And it was, again, very psychedelic there.
A couple of
their people have died, haven't they? Actually, because one of them was one of them died recently. But then
the drummer that was.
That's right. Yeah, I can't remember. Was it John Brooks? I can't remember.
John Brooks.
And the keyboard player, and he got caught in an armed robbery as well, didn't he? At the height of their fame,
which was a
bizarre story. But Charlatans. Yeah, good choice. Charlatans, dodgy, good choice. Dodgy have been here and done a session in this studio as well. Sitting in exactly the same place as you are now.
We supported Dodgy.
You did support them.
They're good guys. They're very nice fellas.
Do you know a band called The Prisoners?
I do. Yeah,
one of the Medway bands.
Yeah.
They were big. I love Prisoners. Really good band. And they were. I was going to say something then. So a link there somehow. Can't think what
dodgy.
It is now.
They were dodgy.
The Charlatans were massive fans of The Prisoners.
Yeah.
And that's what influenced their first album. So it's,
Yeah, good. I mean, we actually came in to talk about you lot, but I'm more than happy to sit here and have this conversation for hours and hours and hours. Let's go back to the band. Why did you choose the name The Everglows?
Because it was the only one that we could find that someone hadn't taken, I think.
Do you know what? That is probably the best way of choosing a band name.
Yeah.
The first thing you've got to consider, because the number of good names that suddenly a band comes out of the woodwork.
I think we thought it had a bit of a 60s sound to it.
Yeah.
Also, it had, because we're into the Small Faces as well.
Yeah.
And that sort of. Afterglow.
I was desperately Googling, trying to find if there was a song called The Everglows that had inspired you, and it doesn't look like there was.
No.
There's a song called The Everglow, I think, because whenever I Google us, The Everglow comes up.
The Everglow comes up.
Who's that by?
God knows.
Can't have been very good. None of us know.
No.
If it was good, we would have known. So, so that's a good way of choosing it. Any other band names under consideration at the time?
Well, at the time we were toying with The Never Knows,
right?
And I guess that suddenly progressed. We were The Pitchers for a while, and
when we did covers,
and we were doing a gig with my old drummer, and he said, "I think you better change your name." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because there's a band on the telly called The Pitchers at the moment." So I was like,
that would be a good name for a mod band, really.
That would fit in really well.
If you're a psychedelic band, though, you need at least five words in the name of it. It needs to go on and on and on forever. But then, of course, if you've got the Britpop influences, then you need to have a four letter name, like Lush or Blur
Touch
or Pulp or Ride or whatever. Yeah, the shorter the better.
Yeah.
Eat or something, you know. So, difficult to choose a name if you've got all these influences, really.
Yeah, and the way you pick a name as well is you go on Facebook and you put the name in, and if the name's taken, it's taken.
Or Google.
And it's just like, it just seems to be, as soon as you get that Facebook tag or the Twitter tag, that's it.
What we did, wasn't it? We had quite a few good names, but they kept coming up as other people had already taken them.
And it must be annoying if you've got a name and you thought brilliant, and you end up having to call yourself The Everglows UK1 everywhere.
Or like when Verve used to be called Verve, didn't they?
And
they had to change it because of the American record label.
That's right.
And that must be really annoying if you've got that name and then you have to change it completely. Well,
I'm surprised that they allowed them to change it from Verve to The Verve. Obviously not that worried about copyright.
No.
But,
I think the Charlatans were the Charlatans UK as well, weren't they?
I think they were. I think there's been a few British bands. The London Suede and the London Beat, I think, both of those in the States as well, they changed their name. Yeah,
the Beat definitely did,
They did.
That the other day in Mojo,
I think Suede did as well, for some reason. I think so. And Charlatans as well. I think Charlatans were called something else in. Did you mention Charlatans?
Yeah, Charlatans.
Oh, there we go. Gone round in a big circle, and I've completely forgot you mentioned the Charlatans. Okay. You talked about your gigs. You supported Dodgy. nice guys.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, yeah.
We can vouch for that. Okay, no one else listening probably can vouch for that, but we can vouch for that because we all met them. Any other gigs that you've done? Any great gigs that you've got good memories of where the crowd have been just spot on and you just hit it on the night?
Well, I think the gig we did in my local pub was wicked. The Railway Tavern in Buckhurst Hill.
Right. Okay.
I'm from Buckhurst Hill, and the other chaps from Romford.
From Romford.
And it was just, we just knew everybody there, and it was just, you know, we played 45 minutes or whatever, and it was just a really, really good night. It went down really, really well.
Are you trying to gig more and more at the moment? Is it something that you...
We are trying to gig more. It's difficult because trying to get people to gigs is obviously difficult. Mm. And we've had not the best of experiences with promoters. We were due to play at the Hope and Anchor 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought, brilliant, Hope and Anchor, iconic venue. And the promoter cancelled it on the Tuesday, I think on the Tuesday. And then on the Thursday, he said, oh, actually, you can play. So we were like, no, we'll pass on that.
Probably
one.
It's hard enough getting people in, and then when they go and change the date, you've got to kind of cancel it and then reinstate it, and it all gets really tricky.
It's not easy at all. I mean, we've been from the, you know, I go to gigs, and so I know how many people turn up to a lot of gigs, and I promote gigs and put them on for Phoenix sometimes, and it is hard work. It's a thankless task. You know, the bands often either do their best to promote it, but everybody's, you know, I saw you last week or last month and they don't come along again, or they don't promote it. And you know, someone like the Hope and Anchor, you think, oh, Islington's a busy place, going to be a lot of people.
Yeah.
I've been to a few gigs there, and I've practically had the place to myself every time.
Yeah,
which is
good job I didn't do it then.
The thing is, it seems to be the thing to do is to go on first as well, because you've got all the people that come with the bands already there, so they play first, and then you think, oh, it's not a bad crowd. So then we went on third the other night, and by the time we went on, they'd all go.
Really, a lot of people think if you're headlining, that's the main slot. It's not the main slot. Second is the one.
No,
a lot of people just drift off to have drinks in a quieter place as well. That's what I think they do.
If someone said to us, do you want a headline? Changed. We'd say no, we'd rather go first or second.
Yeah, definitely.
The culture's definitely changed from years ago when we were playing a lot of gigs.
I think because people do actually go out to more gigs though. Because I remember, you know, I used to love music all my adult life, but 20 years ago when I was a lot younger, partly didn't have so much money, but I wasn't going to many gigs because there wasn't much of a live music scene. There was a lot of pub rockers, and I mean, today you can practically watch anything you like because there's so many bands gigging, and there's a lot more venues as well. Every pub has a music night, you know, once a month at least, but just wasn't the case 15, 20 years ago. So I think people are a bit more spot for choice. You can't go out all the time to gigs. So it's
what we used to find as well is the trouble with London is that a lot of the times there's a lot of musicians in the audience, you know, if you're lucky to have a good audience, and they'll stand there and they're like, kind of like, come and impress us.
Yeah.
You
know,
and I think that's a London thing, yeah.
A few years ago, we did a little tour to Bristol and Bath, and no one knew us, and the people went mad, you know, absolutely crazy, and they loved it, and the place was packed, and we were like, God, we should do this every week, you know. So we're looking forward to getting out of London, aren't we? And
we did get offered a gig in Guildford, but so it's Guildford, looking at the website, it's quite a long way away, Guildford.
We've got one coming up in the new year, haven't we?
Yeah, this is the funny thing with promoters. A promoter contacted me from Ipswich and said, do you want to come and play in Ipswich? I'll book you, I'll put you up in a hotel. There's 250 people turn up at this venue every night. Wow. So we're just like, yeah, thank you very much. So January will be...
Yeah, it's linked to the uni, isn't it?
It's near the university. So, I mean, obviously they're the ones to do. And even, like, we do open mic at Stratford in the... Mm-hmm. What's it called? King Edward the Fifth or whatever it's called. And that's always really good because there's always lots of musicians there who are waiting to play, and you always go down quite well down there as well. So
some places are just naturally busier than others, and they ebb and flow, don't they? I mean, Bitter End in Romford about 7 or 8 years ago, they had a music night every Saturday, and it was free admission. They pay for the band as well. I think some half decent bands, Mystery Jets played down there, and a few other bands of that ilk at the time, and they just took all the money over the bar, and they made an absolute killing over the bar. But you know, when they stop doing that, everyone stop going there, you know.
That's it.
Crazy. It just builds up a reputation and people will go there, but it's not easy, is it?
No, the problem
they do now is they don't just let you play in the pub. The gigs we've done, they've got a basement downstairs and it's all kitted out with a PA, and then they charge people to go in. So people are there just having a drink.
They're not going to come downstairs
and
pay
downstairs and have a look. And
£7 or whatever.
Not many people there anyway.
Yeah.
And they say, well, that's a fiver to get in. And
yeah, it's not a passing trade. We'll they have to be going to your gig, basically, don't they?
Yeah. I think, to be honest, what they should do is just not charge, get people in, just
get downstairs. And again, if you see a band, you don't always stick around. You'll go upstairs to the bar above so you can talk with your mates.
Yeah.
See the one band.
Again, you don't
see
all the bands. Kind of a trapped environment.
You're absolutely right. Probably shouldn't charge. Just let people come in and
definitely
spend the money over the bar.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll try and sort out the gig scene next week. We'll try and dismantle it all. So, and of course, you're recording some tracks as well, because you've put a few tracks up on the web and you sent a couple down to us as well. I mean, is there any plans to take it further? I mean, how many songs have you recorded?
Oh, loads. About 16, 17, something like that. There's loads. And there's, you know, there's more to come. We've rehearsed on Tuesday night, which is why my voice is a bit bleh. And there's two definite, you know, corking tracks just waiting to be ironed out and recorded, and stuff's coming through all the time. But we have to be, you know, I write most of the stuff, so I'll put it to these two and say, like, what do you think? Most of the time Steve doesn't listen to it. and Raya say, I like this, but I don't like that bit, and then it sort of gets broken down a bit, and then we go in the rehearsal room, play it through, and things work and things don't. So, you know.
So, any plans to put it all together and make a big opus or an album or whatever?
Oh,
we'd love to. Yeah.
Yeah, if anybody wants to say, you know, put up a few hundred quid and get us in the studio, then we'd be more than happy to do it. Yeah, yeah, we're all prepared to do it. We know exactly what we want to put down.
We are actually thinking about maybe looking down the crowdfunding work.
That was the next thing I was going to suggest, actually, because a lot of bands, you know, big and small, they're doing it, and it works for them. You know, because I think bands are people are happy to see that. Oh, if you're going to do it, I'll pay you when it comes out. Brilliant. And then they've made the commitment already. It's no good them saying, yeah, great, can't wait for your album so I can buy it. They can buy it now. You know, pledge to buy it now, and then you know that you're going to have the. It's a brilliant model to do it. It's definitely worth giving it a try.
Yeah, it's definitely something we're thinking of doing. We've not had like record company interest. We have been. There's a record label in New York called Factory Fast, and I sent them the Sugary Sun track, and they've put it on their sampler CD. And we had to sign like a contract and everything, and we'd get like, you know, 2p every 4 million they sell or something, so we can retire on that. But you know, just to get that acknowledgement is nice. But what we really want them to say is, you know, here's 2 days for free in the studio, record us 2 more singles, and then, you know, we'll do what we want with them. That would be a good step for us for the next thing. Because all the material's there, we just need to.
I guess it's just a case of getting out as much as you can, and, you know, getting on other radio stations. And
yeah, that's it.
Well, obviously, our one's best, obviously, but other radio stations.
Yeah.
And, you know, going out and gigging and just putting yourself in front of as many people as you can, really. It's just the more numbers you get in front of, the more likely it's going to happen, I guess.
That's it. The encouraging thing is, like, when we do send stuff out to radio stations and stuff, there's not many that don't play it. I know it sounds like you're brilliant or whatever, but there isn't many that don't. We've got positive feedback on nearly, you know, every front. Record companies are different because, you know, they've obviously got to invest money in it, but the radio stations do really well. Yeah.
We're going to also concentrate more on the summer festivals, you know, and to play like locally as much as we can, because we kind of missed the boat a little bit this year, because we've realised you've got to apply really early.
Well, try the Brentwood Festival, because it kind of fits the music that you're doing. They have a lot of sort of mod and sort of 60s style R&B acts, that kind of thing. So, you know, as a suggestion, you know, not all festivals obviously going to be appropriate, but, you know, Brentwood, that's just around the corner, and Dodgy played there 2 years ago as well, so worth giving them a try. There you go, doing a little bit of business live on air. What else does the future hold for the band?
More of the same, I think.
I mean, we just love doing it, that's the thing. If anything happens with it, then obviously it happens. But we just love you know, the creation of the stuff and the playing of the stuff and you know, the live experience is just, it's just a buzz, you know.
You know, I always ask that question and no one has ever said anything else, and no one's ever split up in front of me. So yeah, you know, it's like, oh, this is our last thing that we're ever doing, you know. But I mean, it's good if you've got the buzz for it and it's going well, then brilliant. Also, so if people like what they hear today, where can they find out more about you?
We're on Twitter at The Everglows, and Facebook The Everglows, and SoundCloud The Everglows,
right.
Reverb Nation The Everglows.
I like that you got in there with the brand name. With
Everglows. Oh, we had it it's everywhere. Yeah,
The Everglows.
Yeah.
All you need to do is type The Everglows.
It's really weird. We were waiting to go on at the Seabright Arms in Bethnal Green.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And we were looking, just googling, because you know you were waiting to go on stage. What to do? You Google yourself.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we put into Google, and there's all these pictures of us come up. That right. we've never put them up, but they're just all like Google Images, The Everglows, and there's our ugly mugs there. So yeah.
Nice. What is it, live, and people have taken the pictures live?
Yeah, and just you know, things that have been posted on Twitter and stuff. So yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay,
I think the best place to look at, find us is on SoundCloud now, because we've got quite a lot on there now.
Yeah, there's about 15 tracks on there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's on YouTube as well.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So all over the place.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Stuff in Google.
Yeah,
and we got you all over the place. Brilliant. Okay.
And Phoenix FM as well.
Phoenix FM. Yeah, there's going to be more pictures and more videos on Phoenix FM in the next couple of days. Brilliant. Okay, Andy, Ray and Steve, thank you very much
for
coming in.
It's
really appreciate it. We could have sat here and done this all night long. We'll have to get you back sometime in the future.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
It'd be
lovely.
Great.
That'd be great.
Give us a catch up and see how things are going. Thanks for coming in. Cheers.